coming to you live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip. It's Cocktails with Chris Phillips. Coming up on today's program, from the Rat Pack is back, Brian Dupree and Drew Anthony. And now a man who's never met a tanning bed he did not like, Mr. Chris Phillips.
Well, welcome, my friends. Oh, my goodness. You are here on only our very second episode of my own talk show called Cocktails. And this is so cool because we get an opportunity to not only meet, but get to have a couple cocktails and chat with some of the interesting individuals who make this the greatest city in the world. And this is a really exciting day for me because, as you can probably tell by the way I am dressed, we are doing a very special Rat Pack edition of Cocktails. And before we get started, I'd like to let you know right off the bat that if you want to contact us with any kind of questions or comments, please feel free to go to our email address at cocktails@videovegasnetwork.com. And if you would like, as Scott would like you to know, if you're watching live, please go to our live chat room and ask us anything. And throughout the broadcast, hopefully our guests and myself will be able to answer any of your questions. Now, if you feel the way I do, and if you agree with a lot of people, you know that one of the coolest and most glamorous things about Las Vegas is what was created, oh gosh, a good 40, 50 years ago by a small group of individuals who called themselves the Rat Pack. And I'm talking particularly about Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sammy Davis Jr. Now, these are three guys that somehow single-handedly created the swagger that I think is still associated with this great city. And in my opinion, you know, these are the guys that kind of created the what I would like to consider the maverick spirit that this city was all about. And what is strange is that, you know, people from all over the world come here in search of that type of essence and that vibe, and you can't find it on the Strip anymore. And I'm talking about a guy with a cocktail in one hand, a microphone in the other, backed by a wonderful orchestra, singing the songs that are kind of the soundtrack of the city. And so that was kind of my agenda coming here, was to put that kind of show together. So I have something called Zoe Bowie's Vintage Vegas Show out at Green Valley Ranch every Sunday at 7, where, as you can see, I have some of my pals join me. But if you want the real thing, if you want to get a true sense of what the Rat Pack is all about, there is one show, thank goodness, in this town that you can find down on the good old Fremont downtown Strip, and that is the one and only Rat Pack is Back show. And you can find them every single night at 7:30. It's produced by Dick Feeney, and I can't believe that we actually got these drunks to come down here, but we have my very good friends, Mr. Brian Dupree and Drew Anthony, Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin from the Rat Pack is back. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, cheers, cheers.
We're here. What an audience.
Now,
good to be here.
I think that you look a little naked walking up here without a cocktail in your hand.
I think
this
so,
is a drinking show. I would love to have you guys join me for a couple cocktails.
Are you going to do the honors?
If you'd like, oh,
well,
like
please
your barmaid.
Pour me a cocktail.
Our first cocktail.
Now, would you like my my own vintage,
yeah,
extra rare
give
Crown
me your,
Royal?
Yeah, give me your.
Well, in that
whatever.
Case, we're gonna have a couple cocktails, get in a little bit of trouble, and then hopefully don't both wind up in
this
jail
the real
by the
deal,
end of the night.
Folks. This is not.
And I should
apple
say,
juice.
Congratulations to you guys for bringing the spirit of Las Vegas back every single night, and we thank
cheers.
You so much.
Cheers, great to
cheers.
Be here.
And for doing your show.
And here's to all the virgins.
Thanks for nothing.
Well, it's very clear.
Blew it.
Just by looking at you guys, you're some very attractive, incredibly talented singers who I'm sure throughout your childhood dreamed of being on a stage, being a rock and roll star of some sort. But just tell me, how in hell, along the path, did you guys decide, well, I want to portray an old dead guy? Now, there had to be something that happened along the way that it was kind of a junction where you're like, wow, this is a hell of an opportunity, and this is a cool gig, this beats the shit out of working. I would love to know both of your stories, if you don't mind, how you got into this Rat Pack business. Drew, what do you?
Frank, you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead. It's the first time I've ever done that, but
I, you know, for me as Drew Anthony, I like to sing. Always like to sing. So moving here to Vegas. I was looking for more, like you said, you can't find old Vegas on the Strip anymore.
No, it's gone.
When I moved here to Las Vegas, I was looking for places to sing, swing and jazz and stuff like that, because that's what I like to sing, older music, standards.
And he likes rhyming.
And I mean swinging. And I like rhyming.
For me personally, I have a totally different background.
I'm not done yet, Frank. Okay.
Just getting going.
So, you know, to make a long story short, I went to see the Rat Pack show, and come to find out I looked similar to Dean Martin.
He didn't notice that. That's an understatement. Every time he looked in the mirror. Yeah. This guy actually came to the show and auditioned as Frank.
I give up, Frank. Go ahead.
I'm not kidding. He auditioned as Frank Sinatra, and he never knew he looked like Dean Martin.
Well, I'll tell
is
you,
that amazing? I mean, what? Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to tan so much my whole life. I was hoping to get the Sammy part myself, but I guess
that's. I could. Yeah. I actually go spray tanning sometimes. I say, give me the Sammy.
Well, yeah, give me the Sammy. In lieu of the talent or the tan, I just went out and bought a bunch of rings, and I thought, that's the closest I'm going to get.
That's great.
Well, beautiful thing. What about you, Brian?
My story is basically the fact that I have really no musical background. He was actually trained and went to school for music, and I have no musical background. I always sang as a kind of a pocket talent that I had, but I never wanted to be a singer. Everybody said, oh, you should sing in Vegas or do something, but I wanted to be a business guy. I studied Japanese, international business. And
well, I'm curious, were either one of you influenced by either Dean or Frank or that generation of singers? Because I grew up with that.
Oh, yeah.
And I always wanted to be that guy. Was that something that just came along later in life?
Elvis, Frank Sinatra, I even like Neil Diamond. Anybody with that baritone, rich voice, you know, that's sort of, you know, well, before I hit puberty, I could sound like the lead singer of Journey. And then I went from singing like Journey to singing like Frank Sinatra in a matter of like 6 months, which is pretty funny.
Well, lucky for you, there's not a Journey tribute show on this Strip. You would.
Well, actually, there was a guy from the Philippines that took
over. Oh, he's amazing. Yeah, they found him on the YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
Changed his life.
So
there you
went
out and got him.
That could have been the exception to the rule. But.
Well, I'll tell you something. After 50 years of the heyday of the Rat Pack, do you think that there's a younger generation of guys that are still trying to aspire to create their vibe and their attitude, or is that something that's dying? Do you see young people in your show, or is it primarily still older people?
No, we do see young people. Yeah, a lot of young people like the Rat Pack. They know more about it than you think. So I don't know if when you meet a new group of guys, you mean as singers?
Yeah, you know,
doing that job.
Some of the circles I run in, there's this new generation of guys in their 20s and 30s that still appreciate a good song, a good melody, a good arrangement, mm-hmm. and not to mention they want to be the womanizer, drinking kind of guy that was so associated with these characters. And I think that it has as much to do with Frank Sinatra's attitude and his personality as it does, frankly, with his music.
I think it's two-sided. I think people want to live the life of kind of like, you know, partying at night, staying up to 6 o'clock in the morning, drinking Jack Daniels. On the flip side, people just enjoy just listening to that music. So there's two different types of people that come to the show.
And what I think is really cool about your show, I've had the pleasure of seeing it, you know, as a couple times, and rarely have I been sober through it, so I'm not quite sure if I remember this. But the thing that's amazing is that you guys not only sing the Rat Pack selection of music, mm-hmm. but you guys literally lift some of the banter, the original banter that these guys said on the stage at the Sands Hotel just a couple blocks from here, and you recreate some of the scenarios and the comedy routines that they would do themselves. And so when anybody goes in to see your show, they're really getting a genuine throwback to a night at the Sands in the Copa Room. Mm-hmm. Am I correct in assessing?
Yeah, I mean, we're all buddies on stage, and obviously the Rat Pack, you know, they were all best friends on stage, you know what I'm saying? So that camaraderie that we have. So individuals, we're all great individual performers, and you put us together, and we're sharing each other's energy, giving each other a helping hand on stage, and just creates a larger-than-life energy that sometimes takes on a life of its own.
Well, the show is it's obviously kicking ass. It's amazing. You guys have been around for years. It's produced by Dick Feeney, if I'm not mistaken.
Dick Feeney, yeah.
Understand. Now, you guys have performed, if I'm correct in this, in 34 different states, 3 different countries, sold over 1 million tickets. Is that close?
That's probably accurate, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
That's pretty accurate.
You guys, obviously, there is a significant
fascination.
I don't know why
I'm so tired.
Now, I understand that you guys received some awards for this show, something, a Congress Award or something like that. Does that ring a bell?
I heard about that, but that was just
you didn't see anything.
Yeah,
did you?
I didn't see any.
Not a bump in the paycheck.
I didn't see any hardware.
I didn't see it.
I didn't hear nothing about that.
First time he's heard that.
Well, let me ask you something. What do you think Frank and Dean and Sammy, looking back now, would think of what you guys are doing? And more specifically, what do you think that they would feel about the state of affairs in Vegas today with the type of shows that exist, the nightclubs, the pool parties, and the kind of transformation that has taken place over the last... Do you think they'd be proud of Vegas, or do you think it's gone to hell?
Great question.
Two different questions. I think they would like the job that we did as portraying them in the show. I think they would appreciate it, because I know we all try to do a respectful, good job. I don't know if they'd be happy with Vegas itself, though.
No. I think they're, I mean, you know, Sinatra, even before he died, he was on the internet and, like, Googling, or even if that existed right before he passed away. But he was all about technology. But at the same time, I think that the fact that they're cutting bands back or just have tracks or karaoke, yes, I think that would really hurt him internally, and then he would be kind of frustrated with Las Vegas.
One thing I love about your show, too, as you mentioned the bands, is you guys still have a full 12, 13-piece orchestra behind you with the horns. And
right.
Don't you think that that is something that when an audience feels the energy and the power of an orchestra like that coming off the stage, they leave with substance and they feel like they got something for their money? Like you say, so many shows now are tracked where the entertainer may be great, but to me, it's just not Vegas without the big orchestra. And so I think it's amazing that you're truly one of the few shows that does this type of thing still. And
we also do dinner.
You and talk about something that doesn't exist anymore.
Right, a dinner show. A good point. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I noticed you have a cocktail in your hand, and I know that's a very real cocktail. What I thought was very interesting, and you could probably expand on this, is that Dean Martin obviously was very well known for drinking and being the drunk. But that just may not be the fact. Is that the case, Dean? But he was sometimes faking it, perhaps? Is that the case?
He was pretty much always. It was just something he dreamt up. He looked like the type of guy that was enjoying himself, boozing it up, women and all that stuff. So he played with that after he got done with Jerry. He put that together.
It's funny when he got done with Jerry. Like, what was after he came out of a room with Jerry and he got done with Jerry and he was
his 10 years with Jerry Lewis, had to leave that because he couldn't take it anymore. And then he wanted to be a lounge, put together a lounge show, and he thought, you know, the drinking and the smoking was a good
gimmick and character.
Gimmick.
Sure.
So he really did not drink. He always had apple juice in the glass. Maybe he might have one or two, but it never was.
And he had a fake cigarette too. Really didn't smoke.
He did smoke. Yeah.
Well, I think you guys know me pretty well in my shows, and I don't think I've ever done a sober show in 25 years. I am truly intoxicated
and
throughout.
You're damn proud of it.
I'm very proud, as I am on my own little talk show. With you guys, do you ever have a cocktail or two up there, or is that? I know you guys do so many shows; it'd be impossible to do that, but. Is there any intoxicated evenings on stage with you?
We would have. There's times when we might have one drink.
We had drinks or
it's
wine
fun,
with dinner.
It's fun to have
on.
One drink actually, but you know.
Well, I'll tell
makes
you something.
Things interesting.
If you don't mind, we're going to take a short little break. But when we come back, I need to ask you guys something. I find this interesting. I know that there was one Rat Pack in town doing a show for the longest period of time, and then I noticed not too long ago there was something of a splintering effect where there may have been some defectors, so to speak. When we come back, I want to talk to these guys about it. Once again, Brian and Drew from the Rat Pack. We'll see you in just a minute. You're watching the Vegas Video Network. I'm Chris Phillips, and this is Talk Tales.
This is David Ivey from Pub Crawl. It's funny, because this is David from... You should just leave it on. Hi, I'm David Ivey from Pub Crawl, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And scene.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. I'm Chris Phillips, and guess what? You're watching Talk Tales. It's our second episode, and I am your host, Chris Phillips, otherwise known as Zoe Bowie, whatever the heck that is. And we're sitting here with two of my very dear friends, some of the finest looking men, I would say, in Clark County as well.
Of course.
I know that I have to say that. Or I have to buy the cocktails.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes, it is, my friend. Well, let me go back to what we were talking about. I know that, and forgive me for not knowing the details, but maybe a year or two ago, there was a second Rat Pack show that somehow appeared on the Strip by somebody I believe that was associated with you guys. And I don't know if this is something you wish to share with us, but I find it kind of fascinating. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? And who, was there a little mutiny going on that they said, you know, we're going to do our own thing?
I don't know nothing.
I want to know the dirt on this.
I think with anybody, any relationship or something, people just have differences of opinions and different directions in which they want to take a company. And, you know, in show business, when two people own a company, you know, a breakup of sorts, you know, obviously they want to continue doing what they're doing, so there's ended up being two Rat Pack shows out there. So,
now, I noticed that that was at the Sahara, mm-hmm. and now they are, I believe, in the lounge at the Riviera, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and I think they were given their notice or something.
Oh, so boy. Well, yeah. I got to tell you, I noticed that there was some reviews done at the time when there was the split, and I believe it was Mike Weatherford, as you guys know, a very prominent entertainment critic here in town. And I think his quote was something along the lines of, what did he say, that, you know, you guys are clear and above the best out of the two rivals, and that the other one doesn't belong in town. And that's got to say something for you guys, and congratulations, obviously. You must not have seen any of the shows.
Yeah. You know, wherever you are, there's competition. Yeah. We just believe in putting the best product out there and, you know, taking it to the audience. We, you know, we appreciate all the fans that come to the show and people repeat business that we have. And, you know, our the show, you know, stands for itself. And, you know, we're proud of the
show. Well, speaking of your audience, I think that we have some of your fans that are watching right now, as a matter of fact. And we have something called the live chat room where they're able to chime in with some questions, and yeah, I believe we may have somebody on the line right now that
do
would
I
like
have
to
remove my clothes. Or?
We do.
Perhaps just your pants.
Oh my God! No, please don't. Actually,
what do we got over there, Scott?
We have a question for both for Brian and Drew, and they want to know how long were you guys performing together before it really started to gel? Before you guys were in the pocket, basically.
Yeah. Basically, it was love at first sight. No, it didn't take very long.
No, I think, you know, we became good friends over the years. So I think that the more we hung out together, had some drinks or just, you know, talked about life and what we were doing in the show. And I think that it kind of we gelled more on stage. Because when you're on stage, you can have about five or six different inside jokes and making each other crack up. And I think that's what we have on the show that keeps things fresh. Because when you do the same thing every night, kind of gets stale, but, you know. When you're buddies with somebody, you can always
well that brings up
so there was a somewhat of an instant chemistry. Seriously,
yeah, there was.
I knew that from offstage, and so you guys are obviously good buddies. How does it work? Because obviously you guys are not. I can't even fathom this. Are you doing seven nights a week, or is there other Frank and Deans that?
Yeah,
come
there
in
are
and
other other guys that fill in for us.
Now is the camaraderie and the chemistry the same with them, or is it a little off when they come in?
It's not the same, but you know, it's always you know. It's always the goal to do the best job possible, no matter who's there with you. You know what I mean?
Sure. And, you know, doing that many nights a week, obviously it's somewhat of a scripted show because you're having to kind of, to some degree, regurgitate some of the lines that they originally used, which I think is awesome and it fits and it's wonderful. Is there times in which something may happen where you kind of go off script and you improvise a bit and play with the crowd and do something, or do you stay pretty true to the... script that is given. Does that happen? Or?
Every night we
really?
Do something off the script.
Well, good, because I bet you could tell when you see the band laughing and everything, you could kind of get that feeling.
The band only laughs when we screw up.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Well, in my show, my band is laughing the entire night, then if that explains. Well, we have somebody else on the line that wants to ask you guys. Hey, Scott, do we have another question over there?
We do. They wanted to know if the two gentlemen had ever considered doing a Jersey Boy-like show, a Broadway-ish type of show.
Yes.
Now,
you mean the actual Jersey Boy show? Or?
You mean something other than...
I think there's, if I'm correct in understanding that, I think there's a lot of ways to rework the Rat Pack itself. I think Jersey Boys has both the singing and it also has a storyline.
Yes.
Where ours is kind of like one night in Vegas where you
right.
see these guys.
Right, right.
So I would definitely welcome any opportunity to perform in a Broadway type show where they have scripted acting scenes as well as singing as the Jersey Boys.
Now, speaking of the Jersey Boys, the two guys in particular that play Frankie Valli here in town are a guy named Rick and a guy named Travis.
Right.
I know they both, outside of doing their roles as Frankie Valli, they have shows that they go out and they get to perform their own kind of music and do things outside of their little familiar zone that they have to stay
right.
in. Is that something you guys ever do or want to do, or would you want to do your own thing where it's not Frank Sinatra, it's Brian Dupre doing Brian Dupre? Has that ever been an interest to you? Or
yeah, I think, I mean, we're singers, and we portray somebody else on stage. Let's face it, we're not those people. And, we kind of trick the audience a little bit into believing that, so that's one thing. But as far as for me, I enjoy performing on stage. I think I'll always sound like kind of Frank or Harry Connick or something when I sing. So, but I could definitely,
Because I've seen, like I said, I've seen the show. I know you guys. We've done things together, and you guys are incredible singers. And obviously, in portraying Frank and Dean, you're dead on. But like I said, I didn't know if you had the interest in wanting to go out and be in a rock band, as an example, or has that ever been an interest to you?
I always like to sing the older standards.
Yeah.
So I did that as Drew Anthony, before I got to Vegas, and was looking for that when I came to Vegas. And as I said, there wasn't that many lounges mm-hmm. with bands doing that stuff. Yes, I have a desire to sing as Drew Anthony at places, but right now I'm having a lot of fun doing the Rat Pack and playing Dean Martin, because there's a similarity to Dean Martin and myself, actually, that I enjoy.
Well, we probably shouldn't bring this
in
up.
In the mirror? Or?
No, I'm talking about in personalities,
Oh, yeah.
I like it to do a Broadway show and have a strict thing. I did musical theater, and I could never really do the same thing every night exactly. So it's not my favorite thing. My favorite thing is doing what I'm doing, actually.
So you prefer singing on stage as Dean Martin more so than what you guys do for your money, which is obviously gay porn?
Yes.
With guest star Chris Phillips, of
course. Yeah, I'm a cameo in every sense of the word. Well, this is obviously a Rat Pack-inspired addition to Talk Tales, and something that I think is very interesting and that not necessarily a lot of people know, but I think Frank and Dean and Sammy would agree that they didn't even like calling themselves the Rat Pack. They weren't really known as the Rat Pack, then they were more known as the Summit. The Rat Pack, if I'm not mistaken, was actually a group of primarily actors from the Holmby Hills. Holmby Hills, part
like
of Beverly Hills.
And,
and it was actually a phrase that was coined by none other than Lauren Bacall mm-hmm. when she was married to Humphrey Bogart, and they would have actors and friends over to the house. And I guess there was one particular weekend they came in from Vegas and looked like they got beat up in every way. She said, "Boy, you guys look like a freaking Rat Pack." And so they started they coined the phrase that actually had more to do with their little gang of drunk actor friends.
Right.
I mean, there was Cary Grant, Judy Garland, Errol Flynn. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, if I understand correctly, Dean and Sammy weren't really even in the original Rat Pack. And somehow they coined that phrase out here, and it got associated with them. And so, do you know much more about that? That's about all
I know. You know more than what I do, I think.
I think the press, somehow, when they got together, in Vegas, they used the term the Rat Pack, and that's how it started. I mean, it may have started with Lauren Bacall, telling with Humphrey Bogart and all those people, but I think the press was responsible for putting
right.
it out there.
Right. Well, apparently, there's more than two people watching us, because we have another question.
Hey!
Go figure.
Were you guys concerned when the plaza shut down for the rebuilding of it, or whatever it was? Did that worry you guys that it might affect your show?
I was excited.
The plaza shut down?
I was excited because I was hoping we'd move somewhere, on the strip or something like that, so. you know, sometimes opportunities come up like that where you, you know, something happens somewhere and you jump somewhere else.
I mean, the company's always been clear in telling us what's going on. In other words, we were never concerned about the show, you know, closing. Because they said it wasn't. You know,
so you're telling me
showroom.
We took their word for it.
This is crazy.
Showroom.
You're telling me the hotel and the casino was closed except for just you guys being in the showroom?
It's basically like a ghost town in there.
How the hell does that work?
Yeah,
how do you get people in there?
You just bus them in, I guess. It's amazing how we actually get people in there.
That's unbelievable. How are you guys doing? Is it people coming in? You're doing
people are coming in. It's great.
We bus them in. I mean, everything else is imploded, but the showroom is actually intact.
That's unbelievable. I heard they're doing some amazing things over there, too. Apparently, they got all the furniture and all the
toilets.
Things from the Fountain Blue.
Yet to see all that stuff.
Just, I heard it's going to be incredible.
It might be an incredible place, yeah.
Well, I'm anxious to see what's going on with that. When we come back, I kind of want to ask you guys some personal questions about what it's like to be Frank and Dean.
Oh, no.
Once again, you're watching Vegas Video Network on VegasVideoNetwork.com. I'm Chris Phillips. This is Talk Tales. And we've got Frank and Dean, otherwise known as Brian and Drew, from the Rat Pack Show at the Plaza Hotel. We'll be back in just a minute.
You right?
Hey, baby. Hey.
Gentle.
Okay, all right.
Hi, this is Jacob Cannon from Let's Bet, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. Now somebody bring me a jelly donut.
Hey everybody, we're having some cocktails and getting to know my buddies here. Brian and Drew from the Rat Pack is back show, a Dick Feeney production at the Plaza Hotel. And you know, I don't know if you guys share my feeling on this, but one of the reasons I wanted to become a singer, particularly in Vegas, was to get the chicks. That has yet to happen. tell me.
Yeah.
I don't even know. You guys are good friends of mine. I don't even know what your status is. Do you have girlfriends, wives, boyfriends? What's your story? Are you dating somebody now, Drew? I mean, a handsome young man like you? Can you admit to? I'm putting you on
the
spot.
He's not even going to answer that.
I refuse to answer any question like that.
I'm single. Yeah, he's.
Gotcha.
I can't speak for Drew.
Now, I've seen you out and about. I know that you do very well. Did you have your eye on any particular young lady, a little cutie, a little hottie out there somewhere?
This is the quietest part of the this is the quietest part of the interview.
I'm
right
trying
here.
To get it out.
We
of
you.
Really, folks. If anybody's listening out there, this poor bastard.
he needs help.
He needs a date right now.
Oh God. Well, maybe we'll find one in the chat room.
Yes.
Well, you know, things are going well for you guys. I know that you have people coming in and seeing you from all over the world. For some reason, I've noticed the last time I've been there, you guys have this huge delegation that comes in from Canada to see you.
Eh?
What's that all about? Are the Canadians enthralled with the Rat Pack or American pop culture? Or what is it?
I don't know. I mean, we have more people from...
Never seen anything like it.
We have more people from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They come to the show?
Uck.
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 Uck you. And, yeah, we have more people from the UK and Canada, too, I guess. It's just I don't know. I think the Rat Pack is actually bigger in England.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
than it is
that.
In the United States. It's more
Right.
The music
right.
is more appreciated. I think that the lifestyle is appreciated here, you know, being a drunk. But,
Well, know. I'll tell you something. Maybe this is just my opinion, but Vegas isn't what it used to be. You know, I remember so vividly coming here in the 70s and going into the showrooms where everybody was dressed up. There was class. There was cufflinks. There was cocktails. Mm. Now there's flying monkeys and pyrotechnics and midgets on balls and things like that. What the hell? Cirque du Soleil.
Midgets with balls?
Yeah, you have to go to the O'Shea's. Something has come to town and taken over called Cirque du Soleil. In my opinion, that is an amazing show that, like I always say, employs a lot of people. They're visual spectacles. They are the candy for the eyes and the ears. But is that Vegas to you guys, really? How do you feel about Cirque du Soleil, the French circus?
Personally, for me, I like to watch a person perform.
Ah.
You know?
Cheers.
Yeah.
I don't like to have a lot of stuff happening, you know, twisting and turning and stuff. You know, I only like that in my bedroom.
But, I knew that was coming.
But I enjoy watching a person perform.
Twisting and turning.
You've got an acrobatic act going on in there.
Yeah.
Without a lot of lights and fancy things. I like to just listen to somebody sing or hear them tell jokes or things like that. I like to see.
Nothing against Cirque du Soleil, but I understand it and everything like that, but I just don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy that. I would rather, like you said, see a singer with a band, and I don't care what kind of music it is.
The audience, let's look at the audience for a second. The audience.
Oh, right.
The audiences need to be like, they need like a million things happening, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the MTV generation, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like you need to be multitasking and all that. It's bullshit.
So I think that's responsible, right?
I remember, some of the very first shows I saw in Las Vegas were, in fact, Frank Sinatra at Caesar's Palace. I see Tony Orlando at Hilton. I got to see Diana Ross. But I remember seeing Sammy Davis Jr. at Bally's back in the late 70s. And, boy, I'll tell you, as I've said before, I saw him and I said, screw college. I want to be that guy. Mm. And in my opinion, you see some of these big production shows and they're amazing, but you leave a little empty. There's not a lot of substance. There's something of a wall, so to speak, between the show and the audience. And with you guys, and I think with the show I do, there's a connection where each and every night there's something unique about it. And you make people, as they're leaving the theater, feel as though they got something for their money, something they're going to remember. I think that the Vegas of today, forgive me if I'm wrong, could learn something of the Vegas of yesterday. And with that in mind, I want to thank you guys for keeping the Maverick spirit alive in this town. And before we take off, is there something down the line that you see that's going to be happening with your show? Are you going to be staying at the Plaza Hotel, or is there some other future plans that you're able to talk about, perhaps? A shift, a move?
We'd like to change the Plaza to the Palazzo. By mispronouncing, but unfortunately, my goal as a performer and his goal is, of course, we want to be on the Strip. We want to have younger people come to the audience.
Right.
I think shows like Mad Men that take place in the 60s on AMC, that show blew up and is very popular. I think if you market correctly, we can bring a younger generation. Let's face it, we're young guys and we've got a lot of years ahead of us, so we want to make sure we still have a job in 10, 20 years. So I think that's the key. But we have gigs in Atlantic City coming up in the summer. And we're working on a number of different permanent shows.
Well, you both are so talented, there's no doubt that you're going to be doing this for a long time in one way or another, and I wish you luck, and I'm so proud of you both. But before we leave, do you mind taking one more question? Scott, is there somebody else over there?
Just one more question.
Well, actually, they asked if you guys were going to do a road show, if you guys were going to get out there and do it.
Yeah, we do selected cities on tour, and that was in the last couple of years. We were very busy. But we're going to be in Atlantic City, definitely, starting in July or something like that. So,
June 17th.
I think it changed.
Changed?
Yeah.
Well, if you're lucky enough to live in Atlantic City, you're going to be able to see one of the coolest shows ever. Rat Pack is back. It's currently at the Plaza Hotel, 7 nights a week. 7:30, my friends. And if you want to get a true sense and taste of what Las Vegas is all about, please go see my friends. They're absolutely incredible. And if I could be so bold is to ask, will you join me on stage once again at my show? I know you were there last week, and it's hard to follow you, but I'd love to have you both join us again, and we're proud to have you. Thank you for being on my second only ever show, Talk Tales. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Brian and Drew from the Rat Pack, and we thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
I hope you guys have a great afternoon. We'll see you at the Plaza.
See you at the Plaza.
Cheers to you both.
Cheers. Thank you.